an experience of absolute holiness in you. All of you, every single person listening has this. And deep down, whether you know it or not, what you want more than anything is this deep satisfaction and joy. And this is the exact thing now most people on the planet don't know exists and what we're supposed to be seeking.
So at this point in your life, 100% convinced that there's intelligent design here?
Yeah, I have to be from what I've seen. I mean, I've got a whole list of, I've you know, done so much analysis into all this intelligence all over that, yeah, it's a two-part and designing. It's humans or other entities in the cosmos like us. I don't know if animals can do. This is what telementation is, with your feeling level of your consciousness, not your thought level, your feeling level of your consciousness, you create reality. And there is no joke here. Beyond this is testable, experimentally verifiable. You know, William Tiller has written whole books on this. Other professors have. And this is studied by the Russians in the 1920s, American universities in the 20s and 30s. There is, to answer your question, though, yeah, there is design everywhere. The essence of our existence is design. A synchronicity is an example of design. I mean, if we live in a random universe, it's not design. How can synchronicities happen? If you really pay attention to your life and they're just on autopilot and you're really watching the events of your life, synchronicities are absolutely unbelievable. They are so prevalent, so outrageous and amazing that you almost want to fall down in amazement. But you have to be paying attention. You can't be, you know, thinking about, you know, the latest television show or something. You have to be watching the events of your life. Everything has a code and is lined up together. I mean, take DNA. This is one of the best examples, George. DNA has what's called junk DNA.
Right.
Silly name. It's the non-coding, so-called non-coding part of DNA. I don't know if I believe that it is non-coding. But anyways, it's the majority of DNA. Now, it was found out. Again, this is something academics discovered. Even though they don't focus on it, they should. They discovered and kind of put it on the shelf then. It was found out that the pattern of the, you know, the little pieces of the DNA, the junk DNA, it was found if you take those and assign them, you know, and find out what the pattern is and their relation to one another.
And there is pattern.
Yeah, and it exactly, George, is a language code, a human language code. In other words, if you take human language and say, okay, what's the base of all languages and, you know, what they all share in common and find a code in that commonality. And people have done this for, you know, this has existed for 20 years. ZIPF is one of the first pioneers to do this. You find a code. That code is exactly in human DNA. This is the most unbelievable information that there is. There is such planning here. This has all kinds of ramifications. Language is an aspect of consciousness. George, why would DNA have an aspect of consciousness built into it? Does that imply consciousness is a lot more far-reaching than we originally thought? You know, and why DNA? DNA is a crystal. It's sort of a light energy molecule with all kinds of, you know, it's got the golden ratio built into it, all kinds of interesting number patterns which imply design and so forth. So a lot of this isn't discussed by academics, but they're the ones discovering this stuff. It's almost like in academia where I work, you know, they have all their theories. They make their discoveries, which are extraordinary. And then they have their theories, which almost destroy a lot of that in a lot of ways. I mean, there's been discoveries lately, which now I know a lot of your listeners believe in the theory of evolution, and that's great. I don't, from things that academics have discovered. They've actually discovered things like it's called punctuated equilibrium. We can discuss it later if you want, but completely undermined the whole idea of evolution, not just human evolution for other animals with primates, but all of evolution. But they don't see this yet. It's because, you know, they've made the discoveries, but their theories, you know, they have a theory in their mind. Evolution is true. So they can't get past the theory to see the empirical information.
Let me ask you about something you write about quite a bit, dark ecstasy. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. I was hoping you'd bring that up. That's, I think, maybe the most important issue there is. I think telementation and dark ecstasy, in my opinion, are the most important issues. Now, there's a friend of mine at a radio show called Black Helicopter Radio wrote, he has a quote of mine on his website. Dark ecstasy is the spirituality of the Illuminati and a force that has to a degree been implanted into humans where humans have a capacity to develop spiritual euphoria surrounding artistic experiences of genuine sadomasochism, death, murder, war, and pain, and so forth. Dark ecstasy's spiritual euphoria becomes addictive and is triggered by art forms in the world, is the opposite of the experience that someone has of joy of nature, such as the ocean surf. Now, somebody might have to go back and listen to that again in the archives or something. But in a nutshell, what that is there is this is heavily related to what we were talking about earlier about the mysterious nature of God in a disturbed world. There is some kind of force or something that humans either are infected with or have the ability to apprehend, which is very, very dark. I mean, serial killers have reported that in their crazy rituals of dissecting bodies and so forth, all of a sudden, for some reason, there's a total physiological euphoria and ecstasy in them. Now, George, why would that be the case? Now, let me just tell you, if you have, unless you want to change direction here, let me tell you very quickly why I know about this. I fell into this, and a lot of people I found out have. When I started writing about this and doing, you know, YouTube broadcasts and stuff on this, I found out lots of people know exactly what I'm talking about. And the only way you can know what I'm talking about here is if you have a taste of it. And basically, it seems like incredible amounts of people have. It's just a sort of idea that all these things that should not be joyful, like suicide, abortion, riots, you know, acts of pain, hurting animals, acts of complete non-empathy and so forth, why these will develop a strange ecstatic joy within a person. Okay, now, and that's strange that that's there, especially if we're in an intelligently designed cosmos with an all-loving God. So it almost implies something else has tainted us at some point. You know, for the same reason that half of the front part of our brain seems to be shut off in various ways and inactive, that seems like somebody or something tampered with us. So this is another way to look at it. Why would intelligently designed beings have this darkness in them? Now, the real point about dark ecstasy, this is just what I started calling it, dark ecstasy, that I fell into this back in my Buddhist days for a number of reasons. And again, that's how I discovered this exists. But when you discover it exists, you see that the whole world seems to be operating according to this. Now, why would a movie like Sin City, which has in it, there's discussion of, there's a serial killer in the film who discusses that the serial killing, the act of it, reduces a white light and makes the serial killer feel the power of God. Now, I don't know what God they're talking about, but the point is they're talking about exactly, in one of the most popular movies made recently, exactly to nitty-gritty details of what dark ecstasy is. Now, lots of movies, Shutter Island talks about this, you know, Resident Evil film, Silence of the Lambs, Natural Born Killers, and so forth. And then you find other things like Hurricane Katrina. When you're in the dark ecstasy mode, when I hope people don't go there, but when you're in it, you can sort of see that it's an art form. You know, it's something in the world will happen. There will be a piece of art, whether it's a riot or a war or a nuclear bomb or a piece of a film or a piece of Picasso's art or something, and it will trigger in your consciousness a sort of euphoria. Now, this is discussed in Zen Buddhism, not in the dark, but in light ecstasy sense. Zen Buddhists will say, you know, you can be doing your meditation and go out for a walk, and all of a sudden, bam, the most beautiful song of a bird you hear suddenly from the tree above you, and it just pushes you over to the edge into spiritual enlightenment. So there's this idea out there that the environment can create ecstasy. Now, in the Buddhist sense there, it's the environment of, you know, nature and beautiful things that can do that. But there's a dark aspect of this, too, where sadomasochistic murderous art can trigger someone into the dark ecstasy that, again, it's mysterious that it exists. Now, when you start to recognize these forms of dark ecstasy in the world, and I'm going through this quickly. I made a whole film about this, three-hour film. But it's, you find out that the whole world seems to be, you know, video games. The best example is wars. These things feed a spiritual frenzy, a dark spiritual, artistic, sadomasochistic frenzy.